He understood that no weapon fashioned against this one can prosper. Why? Because the man was sent to execute God's judgment. A man will look and declare judgment upon the land. He was God's anointed prophet. So he said, against him, there's a commandment. Touch not my anointed and don't do my prophet any harm. I have placed my hand upon him. No man can hurt him. You have to understand something. That thing was not an advice. No, there was not a piece of injunction from the Lord that, look, listen, when there is an anointed man, you should not touch him. You should try not to do him any harm. That's not the point. That you can stretch forth your hand and I will paralyze it as an example to you. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, remember the king in Israel that pointed to him, arrest that man, and the hand withered. You understand the point I'm making? Because the man came armed with the breastplate of righteousness. He was God's champion that God has sent into a particular situation. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? And that was how Jesus came to the earth. The same thing happened to him. Let us go over to the other side. And he lay down in the boat to sleep. And then everything began to rise up around him. I am persuaded he wasn't like, he didn't know that there was a storm. But like Elijah, he understood that I am lying down here. No weapon that is fashioned against me can prosper. He rebuked the storm only to get his sleep back. Now that's my personal conviction. You know what I mean? The disciples were waking him up. Master, master, wake up. He said, boys, I'm sleeping. He said, but look at the storm. Okay, storm, be still. Now, can I sleep? Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Because the thought of death never crossed his mind. You know, you see, you remember there was this issue of, there was a time they were on the mountain. All right, if you study the book of Luke well, the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember what the Bible said there? That, you know, Peter, James, and John, they had fallen asleep. They woke up, and what did they see? They saw who and who? Moses and Elijah. What were they discussing with the Lord Jesus? Can you remember? They were telling him about his death in Jerusalem. Do you get my point? So, you see, between that and Jerusalem, he knew he couldn't die. Moses and Elijah, they brought a message from the Lord. I told you that Jesus, you know, we have to try and understand him properly. In his life on this earth, his revelations were in phases. He knew up to a level at a point in time. He got the final revelation in the Garden of Gethsemane. The revelation given to him at that time, after he had prayed that prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. To me, it was a revelation concerning the church of Christ that was going to be after his resurrection. He never saw that one before then. He just knew that death is going to happen in Jerusalem. So anything you plan before Jerusalem, he said it will never happen that this prophet will perish outside Jerusalem. So he went straight, going on straight to Jerusalem. This is God's champion. The place of his assignment is in Jerusalem. No devil could stop it. I like what the one man of God said once. That, you know, they will lead him to the brow of a cliff. They want to throw him off and kill him because he said something that they thought was blasphemous. And that he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Somebody explain this. That do you know why he left them? And sometimes he said that he hid himself. You've heard that before. That they were looking for him. They wanted to kill him. Then he will hide himself. He said he wasn't afraid of death. But he understood that if a million of you gang against him to kill him, if God has to kill a million people to spare him, he will. For their sakes, he hid himself. And come on, he knew nobody could kill him. He said, I laid down my life by myself. And when I'm done, I take it up again. He said, this power I have received, this commandment I have received from my Father. So I am not laying down my life for your sake. But this is where the physical forces are interesting. Amen. God will not always weaken their blows. Sometimes he'll cut off their hands. So a man you love is about to slap you. For example, I'm a man of God. Maybe I go and see my friend's father. And we are discussing. And the man is angry with my gospel. And I'm speaking the word of God and he raises his hand to slap me. I will dodge it and run. Because if that man slaps me, my friend will become fatherless. Do you get the point I'm making? That means I will understand that I love my friend. If your father slaps me, he will die. So I will duck. I won't come to your house again because I don't want to bury your father now. Look, let me tell you what. That was why Jesus hid himself. That listen, he knew these guys can't kill him. This is not the time. Let me tell you what. As an anointed man, as somebody walking in God's camp, there are people that will plan evil against you and you will hear. I beg you. You have to pray. Otherwise, something terrible will happen to them. That is, a man will do something that is worthy of judgment. You say, if I don't pray for this person, he will be judged. You look at this. Oh, he's my wife's friend. He's my father's friend. You know, you look for a reason and beg God's judgment to be stayed concerning him. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And for that reason, they want to kill you. Why? Because the angels will draw the sword. You know, remember what he told Peter? Were it not that I wanted to lay down my life, that you know what I would have done? I would have called for 12 legions, tackle everybody. No, listen to what happened now. Okay, after Elisha, when the king, the men from the king of Syria, after his servant has seen all the chariots on the mountain, the men still got to him. But he just prayed one single prayer. He said, Lord, blind these men. They were seeing, they had physical sight, but they couldn't comprehend anymore. I mean, what the Bible said, that sin a man sees, but he does not perceive. So they came and said, who are you looking for? We're looking for someone. They said, follow me. And they didn't know what was happening. They followed him down to the king of Israel. So they went on to Elijah. He turned to Elijah. My master, should I kill them? He said, what are you killing them for? Give them food to eat. That was like an intercessory prayer. That these men have come against me. You could slay them. But no, don't kill them. Give them food to eat. They let them return to their master. After that, they feared him. The Bible said they never came near that place again. I'm talking about what? God's champion. Armed and ready for battle. But men do understand. He said they know not. Neither do they understand. So what happens? They walk around in blindness. He said, I have seen an evil in the land. I have seen kings, princes walking on barefoot. And servants, they are riding on in S-classes. Governors passing a course of cadre. That's what he said. I have seen a governor, like our minister of works, former one, riding motorbike. Meanwhile, I've seen little boys out driving S-class Mercedes-Benz all over the town. He says, an evil I have seen in the land. And that's what I believe this teaching is about. That men have to understand to walk with high shoulders. That listen, I am a son that serves. I have been specially anointed. I'm not afraid of the dark. Like one man was sharing yesterday, when I was listening to him. He says, somebody said, he said his sister was coming. So he told her, whenever you get to town, call me. Somebody said, what if he comes at night? He said, is my God the God of the day alone? My God can guard me during the day. If I have to go out at night, he's there also. Listen, a lot of the counsel we listen to, what we call wisdom, is nothing but fear. Do you get what I'm going to say? Men who the spirits have departed from. You don't get me. I'm not helping anybody. All of us fall into this occasionally. You hear so much voice. Let me tell you something about voices. Voices carry spirits. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you. He said, the flesh profits nothing, but the words are what? Their spirit and their life. You know what that means? He said, the words themselves, they don't mean anything in themselves, but they are avenues by which there is a transmission of the spirit. There's a spiritual substance. And when they get to a particular place, they impart life to that place. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In the same manner, there are words of death. The words themselves mean nothing. So a man look at you and say, this guy is a fool. The words don't mean anything. But they carry a force that removes wisdom from somebody. It's called the spirit of death. When you hear so much voices, hey, I'm not bad at this. These are me. You hear plague. Oh, have you heard the meningitis has come? You hear it so much, it infuses the spirit of death into you. And you hold on to it by reason of fear. And listen, those things are real. Suddenly, a man that's supposed to be on the horseback is afraid of meningitis. He's treading around on foot. God's champion. That's what we're talking about. Armed and ready for battle. But what do? They drop their armor. They turn back in the day of battle and break the covenant of God. That God has said, I have sent you out. He said, you know what he told them? As the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. He said, my peace I give unto you. Are you in church that you are talking about peace? Oh, I was preaching about peace in church. That the peace of God, you know, Jesus was saying, that as my Father, let's read it, I think John chapter, 20.
John chapter 20, verse 21. He was speaking to them. He said, Jesus therefore said to them again. Now if you read from verse 19. When therefore it was evening, on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Then verse 21. Again he said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. It's another scripture I'll have not to read, but let me just quote. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, remember when he sent the disciples out? I think that will be around them. That's somewhere in the book of Luke. Now, he sent his disciples out. I think Luke chapter 10, thereabout. Where is 10 in this place? Okay. He said, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, and all that. And I said, behold, I send you out as lamb, verse 3, in the midst of wolves. Don't worry about provisions, verse 4. Don't carry any purse or bag, shoes, and don't even lobby on the way, like greet no man on the way. Just go about your business. Don't explain to anybody where I'm going, what I want to do, how much you can contribute. Just go away on your business. Don't discuss with anybody. Oh, well, how now? Come on, Jesus. Say, greet no man. You know, the reason that they will slow you down. You know, have you ever tried going to a place, see a friend on the road? Oh, well, how now? Long time. Appointment for 3, you get there at 4. 1 hour, what are you doing? Long time. That's why I said, don't greet anybody along the way. Now, this is the point there. Whatever house you enter, first say to the house, peace be to this house. Now, this is the point I'm coming to. No, let me read something before I explain. If a man of peace, that is somebody who's worthy of that peace, is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you. Now, notice that. That is, there is something they could give called peace. That if they like, they will take it away when they are going. Do you follow what I'm saying? That Jesus looked at them and said, my peace I give unto you. That there is something that the Father gave me when he was coming. Because he said, the Father has sent me. So I'm sending you. Listen, that peace is not joy and gladness and happiness. It's a spiritual force. That is, when I enter into that house, listen, if the bands of the Philistines are coming, they'll get to the next door. If I live here, they can't enter here. My peace is upon this house. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, they are in a boat. And Jesus was walking on the waters. And all Jesus did was, the Bible says he was intending to walk by them. When he sent them over to the other side, he came on the waters, walking. And then they were there, struggling, trying to paddle the boat they were in. Then Jesus was passing. Then they called out. And he got there and said, it is I, be not afraid. And the Bible says he stepped into the boat. And the wind ceased. He didn't rebuke the wind. He stepped into the boat and the wind ceased. My peace I give unto you. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, if they had planned that maybe I'm going to Calabar tomorrow, for example, and I'm going to do a seminar. So where am I going to stay? Say, there's one guy's house we have prepared. You're going to stay there. I say, fine. Meanwhile, that guy, some men who don't like him, they have planned that tomorrow we are going to raid the house, burn it and do everything. I just step into the house and say, peace be upon this house. From the day I sleep in there, till I leave, and I left my peace with him, those men can never come near there. Anyone that comes near his door will get a heart attack. Why? Because my peace I gave unto the house. If he was owing money, his business will prosper. Because I slept in his house on my way to do the Lord's assignment. Because the point was that, if you read verse 1 there, it said he sent them to every city where he himself was planning to come. They were supposed to go and prepare a place before the Lord, you know, before the Baba himself. You know, when if you've ever watched, what's it called, a boxing match tournament. If Tyson is fighting Holyfield, that's all you and I hear, Holyfield and Tyson. In reality, that night, there will be like four bouts. There will be welterweight of WBO, You never hear one Cuban and one Canadian fighting. You never hear. Use that one as appetizer. Then, when Tyson is coming, they start playing one of those bad music. And then when Holyfield is coming, you start hearing, shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. You know, that's why he used to enter the guy used praise and worship to enter into the ring. Now, that's when you know that the men have come. Jesus used to do like that also. They had an itinerary. They had a secretary. Okay, and guys, where are we going next? Between here and Jerusalem, we'll go here and get there. All right. Appoint two. I mean, you are 70. All right. I want them in 35 pairs. Go to all these cities. Make sure you go into every one of them and preach like this. Leave all the hard cases. When I come, I tackle them. You get the point? Anyway. So all the headaches, small migraine, abdominal pain, so we'll go. Then when he comes, the dead will start rising. The cripples will be jumping out of their wheelchairs. Why? The senior magician has come. That magician was when I was the house officer. There was one funny man. The man was a heart failure patient. His man used to talk funny. He used to call us Baba Olugu, that is medicine man. So when he wants to call me, he said, medicine man. Now he says in Yoruba, like, medicine man. As if I'm a traditional doctor. Medicine man, come. So one day, our guy now came, the consultant. He said, Baba Lawa Agba, that is senior Baba Lawa. That is senior magician has come. You know, because the guy, when the guy comes, everybody's here, so he said, look at him and say, Baba Lawa Agba, the senior juju man has arrived himself. I mean, that was the principle. Anyway, the point I wanted to get here is this. There was something he gave to them, and he said, I have given to you also. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. That is, as you go, there is what I have upon me that I have given unto you, which I call my peace. And it's not a state of the heart. It's a tangible spiritual force. It kills, it makes alive. It protects, it destroys things. It provides, it takes away. You get the point I'm trying to make? It's called my peace that I give unto you. So say if the people don't want to take it away, they have just missed an opportunity to heal their child that has been sick for a long time. I mean, this man told a story once. What's his name? Nawale Oke. He said he went somewhere to preach. So, of course, they lodged him, I think, with the family. You know, he went to eat in the family's house in the church. So he was greeting the woman. She was serving him and said, so madam, how's everything fine? He said, how are the kids? And she did not answer. So he thought they didn't hear. She didn't hear him. So he said, how are the kids? And he said, her face dropped, you know, her countenance dropped. So what's the problem? She didn't have any, and she demanded for a long time. So the man said, no problem. Next year, you're going to have your children. That is my peace I gave unto her. And that was the next year she delivered her children. Why? Because she fed the man of God. What happened? He carried a peace into the home. He removed barrenness from that environment. Do you get my point? I'm talking about the arms that God has placed upon his champion. They are not strolling into battle empty. Hey, come on. There is something he has given to them that, look, hey guys, you will never lack. I said you will look, go to Rwanda, you will never lack. Go to Somalia, you will never lack. That's what we are going to talk about. It's not, we know we are on assignment. We've discussed that in the past. We know that without us, God can't do nothing on the earth. He said, let's read somewhere there, Isaiah chapter 54. He said he will prolong his days. Let's just read it. I don't quote something upside down. And 53 or 54, somewhere around there. Talking about the person of Jesus. To be exact, Isaiah chapter 53, he said, verse 10, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he will render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Did you notice that word? That is, he lived 3 years, they thought. But he said, no, because he offered himself as an offering for sin, his days will be prolonged. That is, right now on the earth, the days of Jesus has not yet ended. Why? Because, look at me, I carry the peace of God. Look, the things that Jesus would have done then, he's not here now, but I'm here. Do you get my point? And that's what we are trying to understand, that we are here. Look, look, look. That is why you don't need to be afraid of anything at all. When there is trouble, I mean, you know David. David, he had some tough generals, people like Joab, you know, Amishai or Abishai, you know, they had some tough guys. Those guys, they were dangerous men. You know, all those things you watch in Chinese film, that they tell you it's just film. There is no smoke without fire. Some of those things used to happen like that. David's men were like Chinese film stars. I mean, a man, he said, look, my wife's sister cultivated this land. And they planted ordinary beans in the land. And the Philistines came. The guy held his sword and defended a field of beans. When he finished killing all the Philistines, they couldn't remove the sword. His hand had gone into spasm. You think it's Chinese film? Those things used to happen. One of them fell into, Son of Dodo, one of those funny names. They fell into a pit to meet a lion on a day that it has snowed. The Bible says on a day that it snowed, that it was cold. Men can't fight there. The guy carried the lion, cut his head inside a pit. That is, you know, it's striking that it's a pit because the lion can't go. He can't go. You watch wrestling. You have their chain fights and cage fights. That is, you can't run. So the Bible emphasized that he was in a place with a lion where no man could run. It was a pit. Those were strong men. This is what I'm coming to. When the battle is tough, who will David send there? Think of all this small Uriah. Uriah was not good for much more than what they used him for. You know Uriah, the original husband of the mother of Solomon. Uh-huh. No, it's not Uriah. It's those men. When you hear that, the tough battle has come. Joab, gather your army, go there. Joab goes there in front. Remember those three boys? These three men who went to go and fetch water. When he had, your wish is my command, those men served David like mad. They had their reasons. The guy brought them out of nothing. David just looked, said, somebody just give me water from that well, drink now. He was just thirsty, and he said, what is water? He got one kind of fresh water. Between there, where they were and where the well was, were camps of Philistines. The three men went, took a bucket, fought their way to the well, fetched water, and fought back. And said, master, drink. The guy said, what? I don't drink such things. The point I'm making is that those men were tough. When the battle is tough, that's where they are called upon. Not when you want to go and clear three Philistines that they are manning one machine gun. Not about three soldiers, go there. But when you see that there are 900 and we're only three, what do we do? So this is the time we need these three men of David. And they send them there. And those guys, you have to understand the anointing of God. God's plan was that they will go to battle and nobody will return dead. Nobody. This is what I'm saying. The worse a situation is, the stronger you are if you have been sent there. If God says tomorrow, pack and go to Somalia, I'm not afraid. God is my witness. I am not afraid. How much more Nigeria? You want to look for visa to go to where? I go to America, go to London. I said, why? I have nothing against it. My friends live there. Why? Things are tough. Then you should know that I'm a strong man of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here. You don't get my point? Come on, I'm not afraid. I was preaching the other day in church that this year I must manifest bigly, greatly. I'm not a common man. You know, I say it all the time. I am what? God's champion. I think I should do a sticker. I'm serious. I'll do a sticker. Give it to all of you. Put it on your car. Put it on your door. Put it on your Bible. Put it everywhere. God's champion. And when you see, you know what it means. That I'm not afraid. No arm robber can kill me. The other day, one more policeman arrested me. He said, we are going to station. I saw you enter. Which one? CPS, enter. Come, enter. Shut the car back. I have a place I'm going. Maybe he thought I would be begging him for what? He said, you don't have ECMR. I said, you are a law enforcement agent. Which law said I should have ECMR? He said, we'll go to station. So we got there. Now, this point I'm coming to. As he was going around, I was just whispering to myself. I said, I am far from oppression. That's what I was saying. The guy was just, I said, I am far from oppression. Because Before, I used to be afraid when I'm going to be, because I never was afraid of armed robbers, really. It was policemen, their wallet is too much. But ever since I discovered that confession, before I started my journey, I say, I am far from oppression. The guy said, okay, anything I want to give him. I said, I can give you money if you want, but I will cost you with the money. If you want it, I'll give it to you now. He said, I said, you asked whether I was a pastor. Yes, and I told you I am. So I will cost the money and I give it to you. You carry trouble now. I give him my paper. I said, oh, guy, you can go. Yes, I can go. I know. I have been freed. It's the wisdom, it's the freedom of God. But what the point I want to get there is that I just realized, look, I said, I'm a man of God. So this, my confession now is, I am far from oppression. Now, I'm going to get that ICMR. I have another reason why I'm going to go get it. All right? They have a reason I won't do it, because it's more like, look, it's small, it's 500 naira. And, you know, if you ask for my coat, I will give it to you, okay? But the confession that I operate by is, I am far from oppression. Look, honestly, if I feel persuaded in my heart, I won't get it. Any policeman that delays me by an hour, I will tell him, your promotion is delayed by a year. Why? I am far from oppression. That is, let me tell you what Jesus, what God does. If a man now decides going to oppress me, I will know that he has offended God, and God is trying to fill his cup. You don't know that? The iniquity of the Amorites, at the time they were not full. So God couldn't pronounce judgment. So he wait. Then one day he said, night is ready. Go and kill everybody. Listen, Jesus said that. He said, this is the wisdom of God. From the days of Abel to Zechariah that perished between the porch and the altar, all the punishment that has been packaged for this city. He said, but there is something that must fill it up. So it is not yet full. The blood of the saints that they have shed is not yet full. So I will send them more prophets. For only one purpose, so that they can kill them. So they killed the prophet. God said, good, fine. He said, now, all the vengeance from Abel. Who killed Abel? Cain. Said to Zechariah, now they now added the other prophecy. The vengeance, everything put together, will fall upon the city in one day. He warned the disciples. When you see horsemen begin to gather around, you see the soldiers around Jerusalem, run, run. The only advantage you guys have is that I warn you ahead of time. Miss, the point I'm coming to is that a man that oppresses me anyhow, I know I've been sent to fill his judgment. If I love him, I pray for him. If I don't, I just shrug my shoulder. My pastor was telling me a story that day of one policeman in Onitsha. A young man and a young woman in a house, they just went to the front, like, just go to the gate to go and buy something. The police truck just stopped, arrested them for is it loitering or something. They said, what kind of thing? This is our house, this is our gate. The man said, no one here. He threw the young man in the boot. Pastor, he said he was so angry when they went to the station. Of course, I think that night or something, They got the people out, or the next morning. He was angry. With that anger, he prayed against that guy. The guy died that year. What are you talking about? When I was on campus, was later I heard this. Look, one boy was doing, I think he was a cult member, and he had a girlfriend. The girlfriend got born again. He wouldn't leave the girl alone. The girl went and reported their fellowship. Us, look, let me mention the name of the fellowship. My friends who prayed, I can tell you where they live now. They cursed the boy in the name of the... He was crossing in front of UBTH. A car came, express, car coming from Lagos, took the boy off the road. His pieces lying on the ground. Don't try it, my friend. God's men are armed and dangerous. Leave this guy alone, you won't. Okay, you think you are tough. All right, you will see what it means to be tough. They joined hands against him and prayed. The boy wanted to go and buy medicine opposite UBTH gate. A car coming from Lagos just took him. Species lying on the ground. Listen, the Bible says, I am far from oppression. That's another sticker. Far from oppression. Is that? Okay, it's Isaiah chapter 54. He said, you'll be far from oppression. Isaiah 54 also. He said, you'll be far from oppression because it will not come near you. If you read the whole of it, if you start from around verse 11 down to 17. Yes, he's saying, in righteousness you will be established, you will be far from oppression. for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. For anyone fiercely assails you to not come from me, whoever assails you will fall because of you. You know, I used to hear stories. A girl said, lecturer is chasing her. Hey, don't run. You know, people don't, I tell you, there is lack of knowledge. Such things, you don't run. You explain to the man, sir, my name is ABC. I am a child of God, a Christian. Now, if he hears that and doesn't turn back, he has signed his own judgment paper. Before, you can operate in ignorance, you did not know. But I have now informed you, and sir, if you love your work, better get off my back. What will you do? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go back home, I'll call my friends, and we will pray. If you love your children, leave me alone. I hear all kinds of stories. And lecturer, they harass you. For what? If you are so randy, there are enough lots on the road. It's the truth. Listen. There are some gospels that people don't preach. They say God is very merciful. God has reasons for showing mercy. His mercies endure upon those who fear him. When it comes to giving men as a ransom for his children, he does not waste time. Especially when the people don't say, God have mercy. God's champion. Remind me of the title stickers. One is God's champion. The second one is what? Far from oppression. That is, brethren, let me summarize. I've spoken a lot for today. That God has brought us here as solutions for earth's problems. You saw what he said there. He said, judgment has fallen down in the streets. When I'm preaching, I always tell people that some of those listening to me, we have to teach in secondary schools. Some will have to join the police. Some have to go and work in AFDAC and go and assist Dora Kuhili. Some of you have to go into the Senate. You have to become local government counselors and chairmen. Why? Because the kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. He said, those who are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Those who are with him doesn't mean those who are following him around. It means those who are fighting on his side, through whom he's fulfilling his counsel on the earth. And the battle that he has sent you and I to, he didn't leave our backs unguarded. He didn't leave us without armor. He told Jeremiah, I will make your face strong. If they jam you, they will fall to pieces. Look, man, when things are tough, it's tough soldiers that go there. Tough soldiers have been armed with the breastplate of righteousness. They have the helmet of salvation. They have the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. My folks, let us pray. Let us give God thanks. I want us to just take a few minutes and pray and thank God. Because you know that you are a man, you are a woman on assignment. That there is something that God has created you for, that he has sent you for on this earth. To come and do something. And you are happy because you know that he has not sent you without armor. You have been well guarded. That is, your head is covered. Your chest is covered. The glory of God, the Bible says, will be your rear guard. And I want you to make a declaration as you are giving him thanks. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I will be a son that serves. I will not be prodigal. I will walk in the place that my provision is. I will walk in the place, Lord, that you have anointed me to be. No weapon that is fashioned against me will prosper. Lord, I am too strong to be overcome. The gates of hell cannot withstand my onslaught because I am coming endued with the Spirit of God. Declare to God that in this your life you will not be an average person running after comfort. That the spirit of Issachar will not come upon you. Issachar saw where the grass was green. And that the resting place was good. He bent his back to bear the burden and became a slave, the Bible says, at forced labor. One that should be riding on a horse, became a horse that has been ridden upon. Come on, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that you have been sent the way Jesus has been sent.
and that the peace of God is in your hands. You give it wherever you go. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, as we go with the peace of God.
Amen.
When we enter a car, we sit with the peace of God.
Amen.
No weapon that is fashioned against us will prosper.
Yes,
Lord, we are not afraid of the arrow that flies by day or by night.
Yes.
Come on, we are far from oppression.
Amen.
It will not come near us. Anybody that fiercely assails us will fall because of us.
Amen.
Lord, this is what you have promised us, not something we are wishing for. It's an expectation that we have by reason of the discovery of the word of God. My Father, take all the glory. Jesus, you will reign over this earth. You will reign over everywhere I put my foot upon.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cherub brethren, the word works. Amen.